And now it's time for the best of English.
Hello, Michael Poynton here with a live audience to greet the man who's been through the mill and come out smiling. Ladies and gentlemen, Arthur English.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Michael, and thank you once again. This is going on into the fourth... This is the fifth week, isn't it?
We're in our fifth show,
Arthur. A whole week's been gone by since I sat in this hot seat.
There you are.
Well, it's not a hot seat now. It's a week since I sat in it. It's cold.
We're in the fifth show, as you say, and we haven't talked about radio, which I know is one of your great loves. How did you get into that?
Well, that was from the windmill, you see, because they saw me at the windmill. They wanted me to do the radio. But, you see, the trouble with me was I jumped about all over the place, which was nerves, apart from the fact that a moving target is hard to hit. The sort of basically what it was. Mind you, not that they would do the windmill, they couldn't do that. I remember at the windmill once, there was one bloke, I said, when they used to climb over the seats to come to the front row, and I said, be careful as you climb over, the bloke been dead 3 weeks. And he was. Anyway, so I moved around so much, and John Foreman of the BBC wanted me to do radio, but he realised that it was going to be a bit of a difficulty to capture me, to keep me in one spot. So what they did, they got me to do the warm-up at Aeolian Hall for Look Who's Here.
And, of course, the big show that you got as a resident comic was Variety Bandbox.
Well, that was because of... and I'm very fortunate. I was resident comedian of Variety Bandbox at the same time I was appearing at the windmill, which is unusual. And also, outside the windmill, they had the honours board of the names of people who had become stars, for the want of a better word, from the windmill. Their names were up there. And I was quite thrilled because my name was actually put up on the board before I actually left. I painted up them myself.
Now we know. Tell us, Arthur, talking about radio as we are, of course, we've spoken about Variety Bandbox. Indeed, that's the signature tune of our programme at the beginning. But let's get to the other big one of the time, which I'm sure some of the, shall we say, slightly older people will remember, Workers' Playtime.
Oh, golly, yes, that's right, yeah.
Tell us a bit about the setup there, what they were actually doing.
Well, it was from the war, really, and then it carried on after the war. It was to help the workers of Britain in the factories, and they would bring shows to the factories, and in the lunch hour, they'd canteen, they'd have a stage at one end, and the workers, the staff would have their lunch, and then sit down after their meal, and they'd be entertained from 12:30 till 1 to the news with about three acts. And the lovely part about it was you used to go to all these lovely factories, you know, and invariably you'd go for your meal into the boardroom afterwards, you see, and have a nice meal, and they'd give you a little presentation of the product from that factory. You see, like Huntley and Palmer's, you'd go along and you get some tins of biscuits, and or if you went to a shirt plate of a manufacturer, you'd get a shirt, you know, but, you know, it's Murphy's Law with me. I used to go to barbed wire factories, girder factories. I did one once at Hatfield, Allen and Allenbury's, you know, the chemist. Yes, that's right. Well, they had a presentation box they gave us there, and my boy Anthony, he was with me then. He was to be about 10 or 11, and... They gave him a box as well. And we're driving home after the thing, and he's sitting there, and he's got the box open. He thinks it's sweets, you see. I mean, there was those stoppers, starters, goers, help me all. You know, whether it's stick or twist. Anyway, there you go.
It's a shame they never booked you in Rolls-Royce.
Yes, you know? I know, yeah.
What about the local jokes and things like that? You had to use those.
Well, yes, this was it Workers' Playtime. You had to remember it was radio because, I mean, the viewers, the listeners were there, but it was a great temptation to work to the audience, what we call cheap laughs, you know, because you only got to mention the foreman and you bring the place down, you know, and then you say, the manager came up to me and said, hello, English, what do you think of this factory as a whole? And I say, I think it ought to be filled in. And, you know.
Well, you work with lots of extraordinary characters. The one I like is about the memory man. Tell us about him.
Oh, Leslie Welsh. Yeah, you remember Leslie Welsh, don't you? Right. I'll tell you something about Leslie Welsh. Hope to God he's not listening. He was in a variety show with Eddie Gray and I, you see, and he always used to start off, sorry about this, Les, he always started off with a planted first and last thing, you know, can you tell me the last 20 Derby winners, you see, and he'd go, blah, 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 and he'd do all the lot straight off, and he'd finish up with the last 100 Cup winners or something. And Eddie Gray and I sat up in the stalls in Southport, and he's doing his act. Are there any more questions, please? And Eddie will be on one side of the circle, and he'd say, can you tell me the pedagog for the ICI Amateur in 1984? And he'd say, pardon? And I said, well, you can hear, can't you? You're not that deaf. I mean, it's quite straightforward. Can you tell me the pedagog for the ICI Amateur for the great good in 1984? And, of course, the poor devil, it was in a hell of a state. If ever he knew we had done it, there would have been absolute murder. But he never found out. But I was doing a show in Clacton for Bucklands on one occasion, and I meet Leslie Welsh. And I said, what's your mate? He said, oh, he said, fancy seeing you after. Do you know, we haven't worked together. I said, no, we haven't for a long time. He said, no. He said, I've been with that other comedian, Freddie Styles, is it? Freddie Sales. He said, that's the bloke. Yes, you know. He couldn't even remember. But I'm not belittling him. No, he was brilliant. He really was.
But you mentioned Eddie Gray. There are so many marvellous stories about him, and you've got some that are original, I think. So tell us a few more of those, Arthur.
Oh, there's a million with Eddie Gray. I mean, the things we used to do. I mean, there's one when we were in Manchester, and there was a letterbox, and we stood round this letterbox, and Eddie's talking down where you put the letters, and he's saying, how long you been there then, son? And then he put his ear to the slot. Oh, that's disgusting. It really is. Poor little kid. Don't worry. He's crying. What? And then by that, he got a few people gathering round. And he said, you know, this is dreadful. These post office workers, they go like, left the door open, see? The kid's got in there, slammed it, and he can't get out. Don't worry, son, we'll be all right. And then he looked on the thing, he said, when's the next collection? Another hour for the next collection. So I said, well, I don't know what to do. Are you hungry, son? Yeah, poor little kid, he's starving. Anyone got any food? So this woman got some cakes. He got this bun, and they've maybe posted the bun. By this time, Eddie Gray and I are across the other side of the street. Up comes a post office wagon, opens the door, and all they find is a couple of letters in a row. Well, coming through Peterborough very early hours in the morning, and there was a fella standing on the corner. We just pulled up, dropped the window, and then he said, well, spoken to books in the Havens, get the Hyper Armour. And the bloke said, please excuse me, I do not speak English. And then Eddie said, oh, good luck to him, and put the traffic out, even the nose of the traffic cone. Oh, you're just a funny. One of our lovely gags was to go through a little village and just pull up the car, see somebody standing there, drop the window and say, straight on. And the bloke says, yes, straight on. Childish, isn't it?
Lovely. You were touring in Variety and you had some landlady stories with him, didn't you, Arthur?
Oh, well, the first time I went to Birmingham, that was Mrs. Coombs, 365 Hagley Road, and she had Charlie the parrot, oh lovely, and Lucy her daughter there. Well, when I first went there, you see, Eddie and I would go home weekends, obviously, always, and then we would meet up on the Monday for the band call, and Eddie was going to the theatre, I was going straight to the Dick, so I'd never been to Hagley Road before, and when I got there, I get there to this, you know, ring the door opens, and I said, Mrs. Coombs! And she said, yes! How are you? Fine. And for about 5 minutes, we're screaming at each other. And suddenly I turned round and I said, I'm not deaf. She said, neither am I. Eddie Gray had told me that she's a bit deaf, so speak up. And then, of course, there was an American, and they had this parrot scare the pants off me. They used to let it out, and it'd fly around the room, you know. And when you knock the door, Every time a door knocked, he went, come in, you know, the woman's thing. And we had an American, one of these pop singers over from America of that era, and he stayed there. And I suppose he thought, you know, he'd got the run of it, and he loved it, and he said, yee, gee, and he bought a beautiful cage for this parrot. And I guess because he had bought the cage, I suppose he thought, you know, the parrot would understand. And he put his finger and he bit the top of his finger. Oh, great fun.
What about that poor chap who was trying to be the audience feed? That's a story I like that you mentioned.
Oh, that was another cruel one, but there you go. old Sid, yes, he was a great pal of Eddie and I. And he used to sell handbags. In fact, he used to travel with his handbags, and he'd work out where we were in Variety touring and make his dates about the same time so he could always come to us. And he'd be on the backstage in the dressing rooms. He loved it. In fact, he knew Eddie's act, my act, better than we knew ourselves. And Eddie had a wonderful start to his act. His stooge, Jack Hartman, who talking of stooges, Jack Hartman was also, years ago, he had his own stooge. Jack Hartman was a stilt walker. And he had a stooge called Archie Leach, who didn't like that name very much, so he changed it.
Mm-hmm. What to?
Don't you know?
Tell me.
Gary Grant.
Ah, they know.
Anyway, I'm digressing. God, blimey, the words are coming out tonight. Anyway, so Jack would be in the audience, and Eddie would come on and say, Madames and Messieurs, you see, and the bloke in the audience would say, I object. So he said, I beg your pardon. He said, I object. So he said, what do you object to? He said, making fun of my language. And then he'd say, your language, where do you come from? And the bloke would say, Bukharov. And then he said, well, you can do the same thing back again. And he said, I don't insult me. He said, I'll tell my father. Do you know where my father's country seat is? And then he said, yes, in his country trousers. I know that one. I mean, all these cases. And so one day Sid said to Eddie, he said, here, Ed, can I have a go at that? Because he knew it so well. Can I go in the audience? So it's, yeah, go on. And so he went and sat in the audience. And Eddie starts his act, and old Sid said, is it Finchley Park? He said, I object. So Eddie said, you what? He said, I object. He said, what for? He said, making fun of my language. So Eddie said, that's nice, isn't it? I come here to try and get a living to the wife and kids, and you get people in the audience. Oh, that's charming, I must say. No, Ed, you know, I come from Bukharov. He said, I don't care where you come from. I said, it's disgusting. How dare you, he said, I'm trying to get a living. And they said, quiet, keep him quiet. You know, I think so, you know. And a commissioner comes down and he takes him out. And as he's taking him out through the door, this plaintive little voice said, Ed, it's me, it's Sid, Sid.
Wonderful. Well, Arthur, I don't think we can top that, and alas, we've run out of time. You'll be back next week, won't you, to conclude the present series?
Love to.
Smashing. We look forward to that. Ladies and gentlemen, Arthur English.
Thank you.
Arthur English has been offering the best of English in conversation with Michael Poynton. The programme was produced by Edward Taylor.